Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to have you here today as we gather for worship this end of January. And there are no meetings after church day, so it's a real bonus that, you know, everybody gets to go to coffee hour and doesn't have to go to a meeting right now. But it's good to have you here today. And I do want to invite all of you to stay for a few moments after the service for a time of refreshments and fellowship in the kitchen right beside the parlor. And you'll note on the back page of the bulletin the calendar for this week. And do want to point out the activities taking place next weekend. On Saturday at the First Church in Swampscott, the Habitat for Humanity North Shore International Food Fair, the 34th annual International Food Fair, will be taking place between 11 and 2. And there will be tables of food from a wide variety of nations around the world. Our congregation is again providing Korean food. But there will be other food there as well, and you are invited and encouraged. And in addition, there's a silent auction that will be taking place. And a letter that we received from the chairperson of the event said, please come to enjoy foods from around the world, a fantastic silent auction, and see your church participants engaged in doing God's work through mission partnership with Habitat for Humanity. So that's next Saturday between 11 and 2. It is a fundraiser, so you purchase tickets at the door, and then can each food is a certain number of tickets as you go around the various tables. But First Church in Swampscott next Saturday. Also next Sunday, we have several events taking place. At the end of the service next week, we will be receiving your gifts to the Super Bowl of Caring offering. And Mr. Mercury has updated his prop for us and has placed the teams back on it and has already primed the pump with some dollar bills as well. And so members of the mission board will be available at the doors as you leave next Sunday to receive your donations. Donations will be going locally to Bread of Life to support their ministry with those who are hungry in our community. And after that, we are not having any coffee hour next week, by the way. We are going to have a soup lunch. It's going to be held up here in the kitchen. And then we'll be having our annual meeting at 1 o'clock here in the parlor. Global Ark Baptist Church, the Korean congregation, is on hiatus for a year. Their pastor is taking a sabbatical. And so we have access to the first floor after the worship service next week. So we'll be using upstairs instead of trying to go downstairs and heat it and be cold. So that's next Sunday. Several events taking place after the service next week. In preparation for that, the annual report booklets are available, and you can pick one up during coffee hour today or after the worship service. There is, in addition to it, proposed changes to our church bylaws that will be voted on during the meeting next week. So I encourage you to pick up a packet, take it home, read it. Especially you try and digest the financials, because that's what we vote on next week. But my admonition to you is, if you take a report booklet home, bring it back next week if you're going to the meeting, so that we didn't make enough copies for everybody to have two copies. So if you do take one home, please plan to bring it back next week to use during the meeting. We are continuing to receive gifts to the Retired Ministers and Missionaries offering this month in January. We'll take your gift next month, too, if you haven't made one in January, but we're promoting it during January. We've received $305 towards our goal of $500 to say thank you to our retired American Baptist religious and spiritual leaders, both ministers and missionaries and their widowed spouses. So if you've not had an opportunity, if you'd like to give an additional gift, we encourage you to do that today. So I invite you now to turn in the hymnal to selection number 725, our responsive call to worship. We'll be reading a variety of verses from both the Old and the New Testament as we prepare our hearts and minds for worship. So let us read responsively from God's holy word. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves,
we are a chosen people,
and pray and seek my face,
we are a royal priesthood,
and turn from their wicked ways,
we are a holy nation,
then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land.
We have sinned, we have done wrong.
Restore us, O God.
Make your face shine upon us, that we may be saved.
We are here to worship God this morning, And our opening hymn is Rise Up, O Church of God, number 724. Those who are able are invited to stand as we sing together. Together. Creator God, you have loved us from the beginning. Before we could hear or speak, you called us by name, setting us apart for your own special purposes. We gather now to hear your words for us, knowing that following you is sometimes challenging. As you did with the prophets long ago, reach out your hand and touch our mouths. Make your words our words, so that all we speak may be to your glory. This we pray in the name of the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ. We now pray as he taught, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Seated, and students and teacher, Rosalyn, are you teaching today? Okay, so students and teacher may go out for their Sunday school class.
We have an opportunity now to share celebrations and concerns with one another as we go to prayer. I did see Claire Stevens this week, and she continues to be at the Elmhurst nursing home in Melrose, undergoing some rehab. And I was going to see a wound care specialist on Friday to look at her leg. And hopefully that we'll have some suggestions to help her leg heal better. But she is hoping to go back to Osterman's when she's well enough to do that. Also, Joe McCary asked me this morning to ask for prayers for his daughter, Stephanie Carey Proska, who lives in Michigan. They found nodules on her liver. And she's undergoing some more tests this week. Not sure if it's a recurrence of cancer or if it's just a cyst or something else, but want to pray for Stephanie as she goes through this, some medical tests this week. Do you have any requests for prayer you'd like to share with the church family this morning? Marilyn.
Actually, Alexi had some things he was sharing with us about the Protestant churches in Uzbekistan. So I don't know if you want to say a little bit about it, or... They're being persecuted, in other words.
Okay. Okay. The Protestant churches in Uzbekistan. So, as far as being persecuted, you know, we don't know what that's like in this country. We have the religious freedoms. So we don't know, we don't really, I don't think totally understand what our Christian sisters and brothers are undergoing in some other countries just for their faith. It is really, you know, their faith is being tested at this point. So we want to lift them up in prayer.
A couple of examples. They were fined, they're raided in their home church, house churches, they're fined. If you carry a Bible outside, you can be fined the first time, and the second time they catch you, you're put in jail for 3 to 5 years. So this is incredible to us to
just realizing the privileges that we have here, and to pray for those that don't have those privileges. And you know, would we be as faithful as we are today, someplace where we'd be threatened with penalties of either fines or incarceration because of our faith, just carrying a Bible down the street, gathering together in someone's house. It's very dangerous. Irene, did I see your hand?
I was going to mention.
Okay. Anyone else have a prayer request today? Not then, let's go to God. Lift me up. Some of these requests are going on your heart. Let's pray together. God, it is good to come to your house on this day to worship you. We thank you for this privilege that we have and the freedom we have to gather here without the fear of being arrested or being raided because we are gathered here to worship you. Lord, we pray for the people of Uzbekistan and other nations where they don't have that type of freedom. Even carrying a Bible is cause and reason to be fined and are arrested. Lord, we pray for those who are living under persecution for their faith today. We just can't imagine what that might be like, oh God. We pray that our faith might be that strong. We pray for those that are living out their faith in places where it is dangerous to do so. Lord, we thank you for those that have defended our freedoms over the years and protected our rights as our nation, as a nation that we lift up religious freedom. And while we may not agree with other beliefs, we tolerate them, oh God, in this country. We don't oust people. We don't arrest people because they think differently than we do. Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, we pray for the safety of those who don't live under that type of freedom today. Lord, we think also of our spiritual leaders who have gone before us, who have ministered to us and to others, who have spoken the word of Jesus Christ and shown his love to others and have led people to faith in Christ. Lord, as we remember those today who are retired and enjoying that time of well-deserved rest, we pray, O God, that they may sense our praying for them today, that tangibly through our gifts to the retired ministers and missionaries offering, they may know that we are saying thank you for their ministry. We know, Lord, it's not a lot of money, but it's the thought behind it. We're saying thank you for them. Lord, thank you, Lord, for calling them into ministry and for gifting them with the talents and the skills that they needed to reach out to people, to work with them, both here in the United States and around our world as missionaries. Lord, we lift up those who are ill today. We know several continue to have colds and flu, and just pray that they may be healed of their illnesses, oh God, and may be restored to good health in a rapid time. We pray, oh God, for families who have lost loved ones due to these illnesses in recent days and weeks, especially the children and the elderly, especially who have been touched. And Lord, we just pray for those families who have lost those loved ones. They may feel your presence close to them in this time of sorrow, in this time of devastation. We pray especially for today's word for Stephanie as she's undergoing medical tests and others who are awaiting test results and treatment options. Just pray that they may make wise decisions for their health in the coming days and weeks. Lord, we also continue to lift up those areas of our world where there is violence, it's dangerous to be living there. Lord, we just pray that there may be peace in our world, peace that we can't even imagine, peace that Christ can offer to us. Lord, help us to be peacemakers, and help us to start from our own families, in our own congregation, in our own communities, and to spread that peace and that love to others. Lord, we offer all these things now to you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We've spoken about the retired ministers and missionaries offering. We also receive your tithes and gifts this morning as we support the ongoing ministry and mission of this congregation. The ushers receive the morning offering this time. Love you. And we pray that through these gifts and through our actions and our words, that we may share that love with others. We thank you for the opportunity of being your mouthpieces and your agents here on earth, that others may come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. It's in his name that we ask this. Amen. Amen. Marilyn Glover is going to be coming and reading the scripture today.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Our scripture reading is from Deuteronomy in the Old Testament, chapter 18, verses 14 to 22. And the person speaking is Moses, and he's interpreting from God as well, as you will hear. I'm reading from the Revised Standard Version. For these nations which you are about to dispossess, give heed to soothsayers and to diviners. But as for you, the Lord your God has not allowed you to do so. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brethren. Him you shall heed, just as you desired of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly, when you said, quote, "Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, or see this great fire any more, lest I die," unquote. And the Lord said to me, quote, "They have rightly said all that they have spoken. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command you. All that I command him. And whoever will not give heed to my words, which he shall speak to in my name, I myself will require of him. But the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, that same prophet shall die." Unquote. And if you say in your heart, "How may we know the word which the Lord has not spoken?" When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the word does not come to pass or come true, that is a word which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You need not be afraid of him. And thus ends the reading of this from his holy word.
Thank you, Marilyn. Let's pray together. Lord, as we have read and heard your written word through the prophet Moses, one of your great leaders, this day of talking about who you will rise up, you will cause to rise up to speak to your people. Lord, it's not something that just the Israelites needed to hear. It's something that we need to hear today. For there are so many who claim to be spokespersons of yours. Sometimes it's difficult, God, to discern those who are truly from you and those who are not. We pray this day that our hearts and minds may be open to receive a word from you that will help us in our daily living. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. If you haven't heard yet, there's a nationally televised professional football game taking place next Sunday. During this annual event, people huddle around televisions to watch the commercials as much as the action on the field. And some will watch one and some will watch the other. Advertisers will spend millions of dollars to attract us and entice us to purchase their products. Many of the ads will be creative and memorable, and more than a few will also feature celebrity or familiar representative to help promote the merchandise. In fact, we've even seen a few little trailers already being released. Some of these celebrity pitch people are connected to companies and products over a long period of time. They're not just hired necessarily for the one big event that comes the first Sunday in February. You may recall when William Shatner hung up his Captain Kirk uniform and started hawking for Priceline.com. Or if you're of a certain age, you may remember retired slugger Joe DiMaggio moonlighting as Mr. Coffee. Brooke Shields rocked Calvin Klein jeans and Michael Jordan donned his Hanes underwear. They became so connected that we remember years later the products, that some of them may have even gone into obscurity, but we remember the ads, and the people are so connected with that product. The celebrity faces added authenticity to a product, at least on the surface. But as often as a celebrity spokesperson helps a product line, many of them have done more harm than good. Namely, the celebrity who goes off the rails by doing or saying something dumb at best or criminal at worst. Consider these cautionary examples. Jared Fogle, who was featured in nearly every Subway commercial for 15 years because he lost 245 pounds eating the sandwiches, was imprisoned in 2015 for sexual misconduct with children. No surprise when Subway immediately dropped him as a spokesperson. Olympic swimming champion Michael Phelps was pitching cereal for the Kellogg Company when a video of him smoking marijuana in 2009 and a second DUI charge in 2014 got him bounced from the cereal aisle. He has since regained some of his endorsements, Americans being more forgiving of winners, apparently. Paula Deen was the darling of the Food Network, until she was taken to court by former employees on charges of racial and sexual discrimination. Smithfield Foods dropped her as a spokesperson. And golfer Tiger Woods and bicyclist Lance Armstrong were both at the top of their respective sports until scandal took them down along with their sponsorships with Nike and Livestrong, respectively. These are just a few of the sad stories of spokespersons gone wild, which led to the bad image and bad press for the companies that they endorsed. They were people who presumed to speak on behalf of the companies they represented, but their behavior turned out to be an embarrassment instead. Of course, such behavior is not limited to commercial endorsements. The church has had plenty of its own high-profile pitchmen get caught up in scandal and damage its reputation over the years. Those who presume to speak for God are watched even more carefully than celebrities to seek even if they get to check their character and their conduct. And we want to see if their character and conduct matches what their message is. Discerning Christians, like discerning consumers, need to always be on the lookout for authenticity in those who would stand before them with what they claim to be the Word of God. Moses knew this was going to be a challenge for the people of Israel. So in today's scripture from Deuteronomy, it tells of him offering up some criteria for the kind of people God calls to be his spokesmen and spokeswomen, while warning how to spot a fake as well. The question for Israelites in Moses' day is the same for those of us who preach and for those who listen to preachers. How do we know the difference between a real prophet and a religious pitch person? How can we tell if someone is on the up and up, or if he or she is leading the people into spiritual bankruptcy? In today's text, Moses offers two criteria for a real prophet. First, the prophet will be like Moses. And secondly, the prophet will be raised up from among God's own people. In other words, real prophets will speak and act in line with the law of God, and whatever they prophesy will affect them as much as the people there, because they have been called to and from those people to minister among them. These are important distinctions because they offer the foundation for the prophet's words and actions in the Word of God and in the community to which and out of which God calls them. Unlike a celebrity endorser, a prophet should be well known by those in his own community before they ever receive the call to prophecy. People will have had the opportunity to observe these people in their public persona in the privacy of their lives. They will have been able to witness their character and action and determine whether their message matches the scriptures they have studied and discerned together in a community. As God told Moses, the prophet will, quote, speak to them everything I command, end quote. And whoever fails to heed that word will be held accountable. The prophet will have a stake in the community to whom he or she speaks. Thus, whatever the prophet proclaims for the community will affect him or her as well. To put it another way, the prophet's word is less directed towards you and more directed towards us. Moses' warning is especially poignant in an age when it's possible for anyone to download messages from a host of celebrity preachers who are personally detached from our real-life communities by miles and miles of wire and satellites and signals. Many people today assume that if someone is writing books or has a huge online or television following, he or she must be a prophet and a spokesperson for God. The thing is, however, that a true prophet may not have that fat book contract or TV show. Their people know them, warts and all, and their message is often difficult to hear, which means that their audiences tend to be much smaller. Most of the time, real prophets are rather reluctant because they know that the message God has laid on them can sting them as much as it will the rest of the community. Just look at the struggles of the prophets of Israel, and we see that it was no picnic. And if you recall, if you were here last week, you may recall last week's scripture in the call of young Samuel to be a prophet of God. And his first prophetic job was to denounce the family of his mentor, Eli. With that criteria in mind, it becomes a little easier to tell when someone is actually being prophetic versus being a pitch man or a pitch woman for a particular agenda. Here are a few telltale signs that we're hearing as pitchmen instead of as a prophet. The first is The message is all about them. A pitchman is primarily in business for the benefit received from hawking a particular product or agenda. Thus, he or she is more likely to use their platform to manipulate others toward that end. When a person begins with the admonition, "God told me to tell you," or "God gave me a vision," it should put us on high alert. History is full of those who have claimed a special hotline with God and have led people to destruction while lining their own pockets and feeding their gluttonous impulses. Through Moses, God warns his people to watch out for those who speak in my name a word I have not commanded the prophet to speak, because that word is usually their own. A real prophet, on the other hand, is more likely to suffer for the word that he or she is bringing. If you recall the trials of Jeremiah and Isaiah in the Old Testament, of John the Baptist and the disciples of Jesus in the New Testament, as just a few examples, that their call to prophecy and their call to work for the Lord was not easy. If God calls us to be a prophet, God is not necessarily doing us a favor in terms of our comfort or our earthly safety. A second sign that we're dealing with pitchmen instead of prophets is that they're holding up other gods. God warns against people who are actually pitchmen for other gods. In Moses' day, that meant the idols of the Canaanites. But there are still plenty of gods to go around today. If our prophet is making promises about our financial prosperity, for example, that should be a major red flag. The biblical prophets were far more concerned about the poor than the rich, as was Jesus. Biblically speaking, if we are financially prosperous, our first priority should be to share that prosperity. Any prophet that puts his, her, and or our financial wealth ahead of generosity is simply pitching a product and not the gospel. As Jesus put it, we can't serve both God and wealth. We're going to have to choose between the two. Money is often part of an unholy trinity of other gods that includes sex and power. It's not that any of these are bad in and of themselves. It's that they make good servants, but terrible masters. When a person speaks a word that places wealth, sexual license, or a political agenda over and above the word of God, then we've got ourselves a spokesperson or a pitchman for another set of gods. We don't have to read very far into the Bible to realize what kind of destruction that causes. A third characteristic of a pitchman rather than a prophet is that their character does not match the message. If someone is preaching a gospel that they're not living out, then he or she is a religious peddler and not an authentic prophet. Paul warned of such peddlers of God's word and urged people to seek those who speak and act like persons sent from God and standing in his presence. Jesus warned his followers against false prophets and religious pitchmen who come as wolves in sheep's clothing, but whose real character is revealed by their fruits. The most authentic prophets are those who are vulnerable, whose weaknesses are known by the community, and who live in humility and with good character. Real prophets may not be the most eloquent speakers, but their lives speak volumes as to the truth of the message that they proclaim. And a fourth characteristic of pitchmen is their words come to nothing. Through Moses, God offers the people a surefire way to tell whether God has spoken through a person or the person is speaking on his or her own. Quote, "If a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, but the thing does not take place or prove true, It is a word that the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. Do not be frightened by it." End quote. A real prophet knows the difference between his or her own word and that of God. It's not so much about a prophet's predictions as much as whether the prophet has rightly discerned the will of God and whether the community begins to change as a result of that prophecy. Such an evaluation takes time, which is why the best prophets are often those who remain in a community over a period of time, or even years. They are there to see the word of God through to its completion, rather than simply dropping a message and then hitting the road. A real prophet's message will continue to bear fruit and shape the community of faith as he or she lives with the people and in a deepening relationship with God. May we use these criteria as we speak and as we listen to those who profess to speak for the Lord, so that we can discern true prophets from the pitchmen as we listen for the word of God in our personal lives, in our families, in our communities, and in our congregation. Let's pray together. Lord, we realize that you have called many to speak for you, and we realize also that others have, for whatever reason, claimed to have spoken for you, but are not really speaking your word. Lord, we pray that we may have a heart of discernment today, that as we listen to those who profess to be speaking for you, that we may tell and try to be able to search out whether they are truly offering a word from you. We pray, O God, that the people that you have called, the prophets that you have empowered and you have spoken to speak, that we may have open ears and open minds and open hearts to hear them. And Lord, we help us to tune out those who are not speaking your word. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us go now and follow the words of the prophet Micah. Do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. As we bear witness to the life of faith, live wholly for God, others too will come to know God and live in abundance. May we know the God's sustaining spirit is with us to guide and nourish us all of our days. Amen.